Okay. Good morning, church. You know, Chisholm brought a great word, isn't it? You can't take things for granted. I certainly don't take that word pastor as granted. Thank you, Chisholm. You know, I don't know if we have time, but I'll try to finish up as quick as possible. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your privilege to be here. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I exalt your name. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. Lord, help me to deliver this sermon. Holy Spirit, let your word speak to your people. Lord, any mistake that I make is on my own, but every good thing that comes to you shall bring to you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, the title of my sermon is, I Will Praise Anyway. If I ask you, how is your praise life? Can you tell me? Who's a praiser here? Do you like praises? Anyone here don't like praises? You know, I was thinking about this, and I said, "What if Emmanuel is doing this, he'll probably ask you to praise the person next to you. Go on, do it. You know, sometimes, you know, we give people reluctant praise. It's not genuine. You know, your wife asks you, how was the meal? And you say, out of this world. Which is open to interpretation, you know. Or your kid comes in and say, you know, wearing something, you really want to say something, but you say, it looks great. I wouldn't wear that. You know. So sometimes praise can be reluctant, but with God, you cannot give God praise reluctantly. It has to be wholehearted. I don't know if you've been in a scenario where you didn't feel like praising God. You're going through something and you're just not in the mood to praise God. You're just not in the mood. It's like telling God, I'm not in the mood to praise you right now. I don't know. By the way, those stories were general stories. It's not about my family. Okay? Oh, I forgot the clicker. Oh, I have it here. It is now. Okay. Right, off we go. When come to pray at praising God, it's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your feelings. It's a choice that you make. It's a conscious decision. You know, when things are all good in your life, as Christians, praise is easy. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you for this morning. You praise him straight away, immediately. You know, when everything in your life is in good shape, you are losing weight, you're wonderful. You are perfectly healthy. You're financially secure. You know, you're happy, your family is all well, nobody's fighting with each other. It's easy to praise. But praising God doesn't come easy when you are going through difficult times, when you're in sin. Have you ever been in sin and you're finding it hard to praise him that day? Because the Holy Spirit is telling you things that you shouldn't be in here, and it's causing you to stay away from, separate you from God. And that's the main weapon of the enemy, is pushing you away from God, letting you figure things out by yourself. You know, I have a book of excuses when it comes to not praying or not praising God. It's, you know, I don't know about yourself, and mine starts with, you deserve it, you need to rest. Your body need a rest. Your mind need a rest. You had a busy day. people are annoying you, so take a time out. You know, you have loads of reasons you can come up with when you don't feel like praising or praying. But Psalm 42, the psalmist here, he recognized what he's going through. Why am I so discouraged? Why so sad? Say, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and God. How can someone go from being so discouraged, so sad, and then he goes to the next line, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and God. That is a conscious decision. His feeling is not changed. He's still feeling sad. He's still feeling discouraged, but he's making a choice. We too need to make a choice. You know, he didn't feel like, he didn't say, oh, I will praise Him again later. That very moment, especially that moment when you don't feel like you want to praise, you praise. In Psalm 57, you know, David was going through the most difficult time in his life. He was fleeing from King Saul. He was just being anointed by prophet Samuel to become the king. He's becoming a fugitive in his own land. His real fear for his life. And then he writes this psalm. He says, wake up, my soul. Wake up, O harp and lyre. I will thank the Lord in front of all the people. I will sing your praise among the nation. If you go through this psalm, he will start with the fear that he's going through. He knows that he's being hunted. He knows that his life is at risk. But he's looking to God for protection. He's looking to place God in his life and looking for refuge in Him. Look how he's gone from fear to commanding his soul to praise God. Fear hasn't left yet, but he still chooses to praise God. Sometimes we have to command our soul, your inner being. Nobody knows you better than you do, except God, right? You know when you feel that moment, when you feel low, when you feel dry, when you feel, I would say, self-pity, whatever it is. You know that moment. But you know what? God knows you that moment too. And that's the time you need to command your soul to praise Him, whatever it may be. Lord, just give me strength to go through this moment. I want to praise You. God, I declare You are wonderful. God, I thank You for being with me right now. That's the way. Praise is an act of faith. It's not a choice. It's not a feeling. When you start praising God, you're making an action. You're telling, you're commanding your soul, Lord, I'll praise You. I don't like what I'm going through, but I'll praise You anyway. I don't know why You put me in this situation. I'll praise You anyway. You know, if you look at the Psalms, David often complains to God. He's always complaining. But he's also have that deep connection with God. He can come to God and tell Him what he thinks, how he feels. And also, he can command his soul. And he can proclaim what God is. So praise is not based on feeling. It's based on a choice that you make on that very moment. It's a decision that you make. We need to become a people who praises God during good times and bad times, just like the early Christians. Praise brings purpose. It's not just not about just saying the right things to God or singing a beautiful song. Is deeply spiritual. I love the praise and worship on Sunday mornings. You know, I always feel like it brings access to God. We already have access to God. And sometimes, like Chisholm said this morning, we can take things for granted. God deserves praise all the time. The heavenly beings are praising God at all times, 24/7. That's the time in motion that we know. But God's timing, imagine they are praising God nonstop. You know, when Pastor opened up this morning when he said God inhabits the praises of His people, That's the confirmation of my message this morning. I don't have to tell much. I don't have to say much. Because when you praise God, your whole being transforms. It shifts us. Praise is a gateway to God's presence. You cannot come to God without acknowledging who He is. You cannot come to God without acknowledging who Christ is. You cannot come to God without accepting who Christ is. Psalm 104 says, you enter God's throne with thanksgiving and praise. You know, I just feel like sometimes at that very moment, we can be very singular focused on our problems, our feelings. But when you start praising, it shifts your focus from you to God. It's not easy. It doesn't happen like that, but you can see it from the Psalms that I read earlier. You are literally commanding. You're rewiring your mind. You're rewiring your way, pattern of thinking. You're telling God, I don't like it, but I will do it. In Nehemiah, after the leaders read the book of law, book of Moses, when they read it, they were weeping. Why were they weeping? Why were they sad? Because it obviously outlines the sin in them. They were crying out. But Nehemiah instructed them to have a feast, share the food with those who have nothing, celebrate. Because Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of your Lord is your strength. Joy doesn't come straight away. But when you start praising, you will see the shift in your thinking, in your being. Does this connect to you? Do you feel it may making sense? As we praise more, you're filled with good thoughts. You're filled with pure and heavenly thoughts. You haven't changed. Your situation remained the same. You're probably still going through that same challenge. But praise gives you that access you need with God. It gives you a purpose. I have no doubt that we were created to praise Him. But God created to have a relationship with us. You know, I just want to say that what are mere humans that He's thinking of us? Like, what is my acknowledgement and praise to the Almighty God means? If I don't praise Him, He's still God. But yet He wants me to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him. Praise can become your sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we've seen animal sacrifice as an atonement for the sins. Didn't work, did it? God sent us Jesus, sacrificed for once and for all of us. He was the perfect atonement for our sins, for all the wrongdoings, our sins, past, future, present. Lord Jesus reconciled us with God. He's our righteousness. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God, to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess His name. You know, it's a mindset. It's like you choose to praise Him. And we go to God's throne through Jesus and continue to praise God for who He is. When you offer a sacrifice of praise, it's like healing to the repentant, as mentioned in Hosea 14:2. Bring your petition, return to the Lord, say to Him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you a sacrifice of praise. Pastor Derek Prince says, we need to praise God most when we least feel like it. Praise cannot depend on your feelings. It is a sacrifice of our spirit. If I go by my feelings, I won't get most things done. I especially won't get things done, anything for God's kingdom. Because I will always feel that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not kind enough, I'm not nice enough to do whatever God called me to do. I'd rather get stuck in that cycle of self-pity and not giving God the glory that he deserves. You know, praise will cost you. It will cost you something. It will cost your time. It will cost your control. You're surrendering to God that very moment. Lord, I don't feel like praising you, but I'm going to praise you anyway. You're giving up your control. You're submitting to the God Almighty. You're surrendering your will. You're not giving in to the flesh. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Praise is a sacrifice. Learn to make them. The more you make them, the more you get connected with God. Your praise can become a weapon. It will help you to push back enemies in your life. I don't know who your enemies are, but you know who they are better than me. You can use your praise to God as a means of a weapon. We see this in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles verse 20. I'm going to read from verse 6 itself. If you have your Bible, you can turn on it. Maybe some words will jump to you. This was the time that, you know, King Jehoshaphat was facing a triple threat from his enemy. So verse 6. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdom of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settle here and build this temple for you. I'll continue in verse 15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of valley that opens up into wilderness of Jeruel. You will not even need to fight. Take your position, then stand and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah, Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. You know, when I look at this prayer, King Jehoshaphat is reminding God that he is the ruler of all kingdoms. He's reminding God how powerful he is. He's confessing to God that he needs his intervention. He's being reliant on God, not his wisdom or his military power. You know, look at this as a battle strategy. You speak to any general, they will laugh at you. This is not a strategy. If God said, send your worshippers ahead of the army, singing God's holy splendor. The moment they start singing, God caused the confusion among the enemies, and they defeated themselves. And this thing is like, I can't comprehend this, because when you think about it in a military sense, it doesn't make any sense. How can the three armies that are coming to attack you, they attack each other and they defeated themselves? And what did they sing? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I was hoping something like a word that will just vaporize the enemy. No, it was a simple acknowledgement of who God is. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. And that caused confusion to your enemy? That word is power, right? That is how we should tackle our problems. The enemy is at your gate. You sing these praises. You don't know why you're going through that situation right now, whatever it may be, but praise God. And I believe the best thing you can do is turn to him, ask for help, despite your feeling, despite your overwhelming situation. Give control back to God. We too can sing praises to God right now. Despite our fears, our problems, issues, if you're facing situation now, you choose to praise. It's not, you don't feel like it, you choose to praise. You tell your soul, I will praise anyway, because God is good. He will turn up. Another example of this is when Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were beaten. They were probably hungry as well. And then in Acts 16, 25 to 26, you see they were praising God at midnight. How do they do that? That requires mental strength. That requires total reliance on God for praising him who he is. You know, when God, when you start praising God, things move. You can't see it. Heaven moves. You don't see it. You don't feel it. Because we're based on feeling, right? You expect to feel something happens right now. We live in the age of instant gratification. Everything. Your food is five minutes late, you're angry. You order something, you're tracking where the food is. We live in that age. We want instant gratification for everything. You can track where your children are these days. You know? So we live in that kind of moment where we want things happen straight away. It's like, God, I want this problem to be gone now, right now. You can't command to God like that. He will use you, use that situation to perfect you as a Christian. In this story, you will see when they start praising God, heaven moves. You know, the prison guard in charge of them brought them to their house, cleansed their wounds, fed them, and eventually got saved. Not only him, but his household. When you start praising, it not only affects you, but affects people around you. That can happen too. God has given us the wisdom to use praise as a weapon. Start using them. Praise leads to renewal. When you start praising God, something supernaturally happens. It's good that you mentioned we can become so familiar with the way we pray, with the way we speak. You come up, sometimes you catch yourself. Why am I saying the same prayer? There is so many ways to praise God. There is so many ways that you can glorify him. Catch yourself. You know, when you start praising, it is just not one way. God listens, and it's an exchange. He gives you something back. He gives you a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, Isaiah 61:3. He takes away your fear, your worries, your burden, your weariness. In exchange, grant us joy, strength, and renewal of spirit and mind. Psalm 34, in this psalm, again, King Saul was hunting David. You know, he was looking for refuge. In this context, he was pretending, King David was pretending to be a madman in front of Abimelech and drooling on his beard and scratching the doors, hoping that they will not find out who he is, who he really is. Psalm says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak of his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. And Lord, let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us worship, tell the Lord of his greatness. His situation didn't change. He was still in the cave. But that was his praise. If some of you in the cave right now, you better start singing. Ephesians 4:23. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitude. You must display a new nature or because you're a new person, created in God's likeness and righteousness, holy and true. We need to put on that. We need to change our mindset. We need to acknowledge we're new creations. Psalm 55:22, give your burden to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not let the godly slip and fall. Do you believe that? He will not let us slip and fall. Everything that we go through, he has a purpose. He already knows it, and he has a way around it. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Last week, Anne spoke about the peace. Are you in peace with God? It's important to be in peace with God. And finally, we praise God for who he is. We proclaim why God is God. Regardless of our feelings, our situation, we need to start praising him for who he is. You know, God is omniscient, meaning he knows about everything. God has infinite knowledge of all things, including the things of the past, present, and future. He knows about your every thought and every detail about you. You know, we live in an AI age, and every day you get amazed by what this thing can do, the knowledge that he has. God is infinitely more powerful. He knows about everything and everything. Psalm 139:1-5 says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when I'm far away. You chart the path ahead of me. Tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment, you know where I am. You can't pretend that is not true. God knows everything that you do. God is omnipresent, meaning he's able to be at everywhere at once. I always wondered about that. But then I thought, internet works like that. How can God be everywhere at once? Because he's omnipresent. He can be visible. He can be invisible. He can appear in a burning bush. He can appear as an angel of the Lord. He can appear as a son of man. God's presence is everywhere at every time, at all time. Once you acknowledge that very situation you're going through, you bring God into it. You tell God, are you here with me? I need you right now. I'm not able to deal with this. Psalm 139:7-10. I can never escape your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of death, you're there. Thank God we are not there yet. But you will be there too. You cannot escape God. The best thing you can do is be with him. Acknowledge him. God is omnipotent. He's Elohim. He's our creator. He's God Almighty, El Shaddai. God is all powerful. He has infinite power. He spoke the word and the world was created. Jeremiah 32:17, O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. So despite your feeling, start praising God. You know, Prophet Habakkuk 3:18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. But if you start reading the book of Habakkuk, you will notice that he didn't start that way. He was questioning God about everything. He was questioning about the wickedness that happening in the land. He was questioning about the violence. He was questioning about the people that sinning against God. He was asking God, why is he allowing it? But in chapter 3, he began to shift from why to I trust you, God. I will look at what you have done in the past. I will acknowledge your promises, your deliverance, your faithfulness. So when you are going through that rough time, you acknowledge what God done for you in the past. How many things he has delivered you from. You know, I'm always amazed by one thing. I was a reckless teenager. I was always doing things, so many things that completely reckless. But I have no doubt now, looking back, I would not be here if not for God. Like, there are times that I felt like I'm a boy racer. I would floor it. And I was hoping, like, nothing gonna happen to me. But I felt that every reckless action that I took, God was there to protect me. So praise God despite your feelings. You know, your situation may not change. It may remain the same. There might be no tangible change that you can feel or something is shifting. You may still feel sad. You may still feel like, God, I don't want to praise you. But force yourself. Choose to praise. That decision is yours. Don't let enemy take that away. Don't give up. Continue praising and continue declaring what God has done. This life that he has given us is, each of us has a purpose. But ultimately, you know, my life is different to yours. But he knows about me as much as he knows about you. And he knows what you need and what I need. That is incredible. That's the personal God that we have. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, if your praise life is not wonderful, start praising him. If you have enemies at your gate, just like how King Joseph have had, start praising him. Send your praises forth. Tell God, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I will praise you. I know you're going to get me out. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, openly profess his name. We thank you. If you want to find inspiration of how to praise God, you start reading Psalm 145 to 150. These are the Psalms known as the Hallelujah Psalms or Hallelujah Praises. Hallelujah simply means praise the Lord. You will find incredible satisfaction in reading those because David has just praised God for all the things that he's done in your life. Sometimes you can thank God for the PlayStation. You can thank God for the car. You can thank God for your children. You can thank God for your bosses. So I hope you find encouragement in that. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we bring before you our sacrifice of praise. Be exalted, O Lord God, for you are worthy of all our praise. No man, no other being in earth, Lord, deserve the praise that you deserve. Lord, we continue to teach us how to praise you, even when we don't feel like it. Strengthen our faith, O Lord God. Lord, we help us to surrender our control to you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, all the God people said, amen.